With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Our next guest is living proof that what you don't have to address in your life and what you choose not to allow to destroy you can really be stepping stones for you to become the person that you want to be, either good or bad. And I think this is one of the things that we kind of address on this program all the time, that when it comes to our past, when it comes to things that we've gone through, that we really have a decision to make. Our guest is Tom North. He's made a very powerful decision, and that is to use his past to be able to help others. He's wrote the book called True North. It's a fascinating look not only into his family but also into his journey and what it's been like for him to go from not just being a victim but being a survivor and now thriving in life and helping other people to do the same thing. We'll talk to Tom not only about the decision to write the book but what it's been like for him to see the way that people around the world are responding to it. Tom, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Cyrus.
Well, Tom, you know, I really mean this. I think that your book really shows the choice that we all have in our lives. You went through some things that would be unimaginable for some to even, you know, to be able to live through, especially to stay sane through. And you've been able to use those things, I think, to not only grow yourself but also to help others. What has it been like for you to use your life that way, Tom, to know that the things that you've experienced have not only, you know, been lessons for you but have also now been able to help others?
You know, I just think that's the most important point you could raise is the point about choice.
Yeah.
And that everyone has to make a choice about whether they're going to let their life circumstances dictate who they are or whether they're, as you said, use those life circumstances as stepping stones to become who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's what I've done. I wrote True North, The Shocking Truth About Yours, Mine, and Ours, because I wanted people to know that it is possible to take up the broken pieces of a life and put them back together again and be a happy, well-adjusted human being.
Yeah. You know, your life really to me in the book, and we can talk about this, Tom, is kind of in three parts. You begin the book by talking about, you know, the first part of your life was exciting. You know, you were full of adventure and wonder. And then you went through that dark chapter of, you know, not only, you know, not being happy at home, but, of course, happiness not being something that you were able to find in other ways as well. And then to me, the third part that really is so encouraging and inspiring are the decisions, going back to the choice, of knowing that you deserved better and what it was going to take for you to be able to get better and to know that only by helping yourself first could you then be able to help others in your family. Do you kind of see your life that way almost as a book itself, of kind of unfolding that way?
I agree completely, and I think I was very fortunate in having a reasonably balanced happy home life for the first 6 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then having the contrast with that created a disconnect that really I suffered from for a long, long time. But I think it was those first 6 years that gave me a vision of possibilities. Some people aren't that fortunate.
Exactly. Exactly. And not everyone gets to that third chapter, unfortunately, as well. Now, you mentioned, you know, the subtitle of the book. The book is True North, The Shocking Truth About Yours, Mine, and Ours. If that sounds familiar to our listeners, that actually is the title of a film that came out in the 1960s. You know, and, you know, I have always said, Tom, when I talk to people on this program, you know, and ironically, in your case, in some ways, it's true that, you know, this could easily be a movie. You know, when you think about the truth, you know, the shocking truth in your case of what you lived through and what you've now been able to overcome. What do you think has been the key? Why were you able to make it when so many other people would have been destroyed by it?
Well, I think there's two reasons for that. One, we just mentioned that I did have a reasonably happy childhood for the first 6 years of my life. And that's when early childhood programming takes place. It really tells us who we are in our lives. And we'll come back to that in a moment. The second reason I think that I was able to overcome some significant challenges is when I was 22, I began to practice transcendental meditation. And that was really the beginning of my recovery from a childhood of domestic violence and child abuse.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. One of the things that I had marked that I wanted to actually read from the book, for those who already have it, it's in the chapter, The Mountain Retreat. It's on page 188. For those who don't have the book yet, make a note of that, because we'll be telling you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. This is what you wrote in the book, Tom. The more I meditated, the calmer I became. My mind seemed to slow down, and my thoughts became clearer as I relaxed more each day. I didn't know enough about the process to be able to say whether it was the yoga or the meditation or the combination of the two. Maybe it was the extended meditation each morning and evening. But then you said this: all I knew was that I was feeling less mentally and emotionally encumbered each day. I thought to myself, so this is what it's like to relax and feel rested. I began smiling at my classmates with sincere feeling instead of forcing an insincere smile to be socially correct. And I wanted to read that because of two reasons. One of the things that happened to you after you were able to get to a place where you were making decisions on your own was that happiness was not something that seemed to come easy for you. And it seemed as though at this point, as you just mentioned about meditation, and as we read in the book, that's where you kind of found the peace. But the second thing that I thought was so fascinating, and I think such an important revelation for our listeners, Tom, is to know that you were worthy of it. What was it like for you to discover the second part, that you were worthy of happiness, that you were worthy of peace?
And, you know, I think that that second part, that I was worthy of peace, has to do with connecting with my own essential nature through meditation. And what we find if we are able to have that experience through meditation is that when we transcend, when we go beyond thought, we actually come in contact with that level of silence within us, which is divine in nature. And once we make contact with that and realize that's who we really are, then there is a natural unfolding of that, assuming that we continue to meditate on a regular basis.
Right. I think that's the thing. And I think it's that key that was able to help you to unlock the prison that you talk about later on in the book, the prison, of course, being locked into your past. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Tom North is our guest. He's the author of the book True North, The Shocking Truth About Yours, Mine, and Ours. If you are coming in late, I'll tell you a little bit later how you can be able to go back and listen to the podcast completely for free. Tom, I want to talk a little bit more about the impact of meditation and spirituality for you, because one of the things I mentioned to you before we went live is that, you know, there's one part of the book, again, that, you know, and I think it happens to all of us once there has been a wound. Even if the wound might begin to heal, there are always going to be some aftermath. So maybe it's, you know, the cloudiness of the weather that kind of reminds us of that, you know, that spot that has been hurt. For you, there was one point that you came to in the book that I thought was so powerful where you, you know, were in that moment of peace. But then you came to a realization as you were back here, you know, in the present, in the, you know, in the world, that you realized that, you know, that you felt, at least at that point, that you were not even worthy of God, that God did not even want you. Can you kind of talk about that feeling of a worthiness and how that was something that took time, even though you were able to get to a place where you understood that you were worthy? How did you get there, and what was it like for you to kind of come to that point?
Well, that was a really ironic experience because it was a very mystical, very powerful experience of of divine contact.
Mm-hmm.
And just so that your listeners have a little background there, I was in a meditation that lasted actually for 4 hours, and it seemed like it was only like 15 or 20 minutes. And during the meditation, I went to the other side, as it were, and I felt that I was sitting in the lap of God, that I was in the presence of pure divine love. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to merge into that divine presence and be there forever. And yet the knowingness that came to me was, no, you have to go back. And at that moment, I localized back into my body, and it had been 4 hours. What was supposed to be a 20-minute meditation had been 4 hours. And so the problem is that I had suffered from severe depression as a teenager.
Right.
And so my interpretation of this experience was that I had just been rejected by the most supreme parent in the universe, which is God. And so there I was feeling rejected by God, and I went back into a severe depression.
Yeah, yeah. Even though you had made such great strides, and I think that's another thing that's important for our listeners to know, that, you know, just because you are advancing does not mean every day is going to be perfect. There are going to be those times when you do feel, you know, the aching of it. And again, going back to the wound, I mean, until the wound is completely healed, if it gets to that place, you know, there will always be those residual effects of it. And I think that leads us to, you know, the realization for yourself, Tom, that, you know, not only were you able to, as we were able to find out in the book, you were able to pursue your own course, where it came to education, where it came to, you know, your spiritual practices, where it came to love and family. You were able to pursue your own path, but there were still things that needed to be addressed. And I think, you know, one of the biggest parts of healing, you know, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually, is addressing the actual wound. I mean, not, you know, not going around the wound, but actually addressing the wound. What was it like for you to get to a place where you were able to not only to address the source of your pain, that being Frank, but also to know that you didn't have to go through it alone because you had your siblings there?
Well, that was such a powerful experience in my life. I was, gosh, it's hard to know where to even start with that. But it doesn't lessen the intensity of the pain. It helps knowing that we're not alone.
Right.
But we still have to go through the fire, and we still have to deal with that, what I call an emotionally charged memory. And that resides in our body, in our physiology. And so we have to deal with that. And so it is so liberating. I guess that's the right word to use. It's so liberating to deal with it and realize that it can't hurt you anymore.
Right.
And you don't need to carry that. I didn't need to carry that wound anymore. And that's so well put.
Well, you know, let me say this, and I think it goes for, and I said this in my review on Amazon, regardless of what type of trauma we've had, and I think it really boils down to that for myself when I think about it, because all of us have our own wounds, and some of them can be seen, others cannot. Some of the ones that your siblings had could be seen, and others, you know, such as especially what happened to your sisters, could not. But I think to be able to put a voice to it, I mean, you know, we talk a lot on this program, Tom, about the importance of not only realizing your power, but taking that power back when you feel as though you've had it taken away from you. Was that kind of what it felt like to kind of be there and to actually say the words, to actually put the questions out there, and to know that you were in the position where they could not hurt you?
And that is so well put, Cyrus. I have to thank you for that, because you really, really expressed it well. And during that time, and just to let your listeners know, what happened is that the whole family went into group therapy, and there were, so that means 22 people. Now, there were actually 5 people who did not attend, but there were 14 children of the 20 children, and the two parents who came to the group therapy sessions and participated. And we went 10 hours on Saturday and 10 hours on Sunday, just marathon sessions. And it was so productive and so liberating and cathartic. It was fantastic for everyone. And that, just the way you described it, everyone was in a position where they had an opportunity to take their power back.
Right.
And to release all that energy that they had held stored inside their bodies and let it go.
Yeah. I want to read, if you don't mind, just one part of that, Tom, for our listeners. And it really, I think, helps to set the scene for this. And for those, again, who have the book, it's on page 295. This is what you wrote, Tom. The session was begun with a prayer, asking God for guidance. For the next 10 hours, the eight of us emptied skeletons from the closets of our souls. Each of us, in our turn, had an opportunity to speak and ask questions and get answers from our siblings and from the counselor. Many of the events we shared that day were unknown to the others in the room until they were spoken. A pattern began to emerge. Each of us, as children or early teenagers, at some time or another, had been isolated from the others by some lie or deceit and then abused by Frank. Or we had been publicly punished to the point of humiliation by him. Ashamed to talk, having been punished for speaking the truth, we had been harboring the guilt of it for all of our adult lives. And the reason I wanted to read that one part, because that's going to resonate with somebody, Tom, who has wondered how they got to a place or how this happened to them or how the abuse was able to continue. And I think what you are able to share with your family is now, unfortunately, a textbook example of what so many abusers do, and that being the divide and conquer, being able to separate you, make you feel as though, you know, either someone's not going to believe you, or someone, you know, has ill feelings toward you, or they're not there for you, and then to be able to prey on them. Can you kind of take us into that part of it? I mean, as you saw the pattern, as you talk about, you know, what was that like for you? What kind of a light bulb went off with that?
Well, that was, that's exactly what it was. It was a light bulb that went on for me because I was thinking that I knew that everyone was having this experience, but I didn't know the details of their individual traumas, and that's what we all learned during those sessions. So it was a what was so interesting is how we isolate ourselves having had that experience. And so we were, from the time we were children, we were afraid to talk to each other about what was going on. And so we were harboring, again, that guilt and that shame our whole adult lives. And so this is a very common pattern that people who are victims of abuse, they feel guilty, they feel ashamed, and then they isolate themselves because they don't know how to deal with it. And what we found in our therapy sessions was that we're not alone, is that this is a very common thing, and we don't need to isolate ourselves. The more important thing to do is to reach out and get help.
Yeah, exactly, to get the help. What was it like for you when you got that phone call from Phil asking you to do this? I mean, you know, I can imagine that, you know, there were all types of scenarios that were going through your mind, but what made you eventually agree?
Well, I the minute he said it, I've always been an adventurous person, and it doesn't matter whether it's adventures out in the wilderness or adventures with people. I think a conversation with someone I know or a stranger is a kind of an adventure, and it's an adventure in human interaction. And so when Phil said, "Are you going to help me or not?" It never occurred to me to say no. I said, absolutely. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, now that you did not miss it and you went through that, and, again, you even talk about in that same chapter, Tom, how, again, it goes back to the choice, how we began this conversation, that you could have decided to allow the facade that was the film, yours, mine, and ours, to be the truth that the world knew, or you could go through this process and write the book. Was that more difficult? I mean, I can imagine, you know, it's one thing to go with the family and to get peace that way. Was it an easy decision to decide to share that truth with the world?
Actually, Cyrus, it was really, really difficult. I wanted so desperately to have someone else tell this story. And what happened is that during the therapy sessions, many of us agreed never to support the fantasy of the film any longer in a public context. And so in subsequent social conversation, when people would say, well, how similar to real life was the movie? And if it was appropriate, I would tell them the real story. And they would say, oh, you have to write a book. That's a book. And I would think, no, I'm not going to write that book. And I waited 20 years for someone else to write that book because I just didn't, I couldn't see myself doing that. And then I realized the only person that was going to write that book was the guy in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I was going to have to be the person that wrote that book. And so I sat down and put pen to the paper and started writing the book.
Was that also part of the healing for you?
It was. It was. In fact, I have to tell you that when I was researching the writing of memoir, I came across an article by a literature professor who said, remember, if the writer don't cry, the reader don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very powerful for me. I went, oh, that means I have to put my heart and soul into this story and don't pull any punches, because that's where the value is to readers, is in the truth.
Exactly. And I think that is the thing. And I think that is, for all of us, as we're looking at our lives, is the truth is the real source. That is where we can really find the happiness. It's where we can find the peace. And also the freedom. The last passage I want to share is found on page 322. It's the chapter is called The Funeral. For those who have already read the book, you already know what it's about. But for those who haven't, you have to read it to figure out whose funeral it is. But this is what Tom wrote on page 322. The past is the past, I thought. We both learn from it and set ourselves free, or we become prisoners or slave to it, forever doomed to carry the burden, like Marley's chains. I chose to read something that Helen Norris, somewhere in her deeper musings, believed, but found challenging to manifest in her life, as I believe most of us do. I shared it because life is for the living, and the form of something was a fitting place to remind myself and each and every person in attendance what we were here on earth to do. And I left out something there so we wouldn't spoil it, Tom, for those who haven't read the book. But I think that is the thing. Life is for the living, and I think all experiences in our lives, and I've really found this to be true in my life, are really lessons. They're lessons for me and then things that we can pass on to others. What would you say to people who are just hearing your story? What would you say to them about what you would hope by the end that they would be able to know, not only about what was possible for you, but what is also possible for them?
Well, one of the ironies related to that question is that it's very common for us to be impacted and influenced in our own lives by people who have been long dead.
Yeah.
And they keep dictating how we behave in spite of the fact that they've been long gone. And so it's really important for us to free ourselves and become our own person. And so what I would say to people who are still struggling with family issues, personal identity issues, and all kinds of personal growth issues is that it is possible, if you want to pick up the broken pieces of a life and put them back together and become a happy, healthy, well-adjusted human being. And that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah. And you're hearing it from someone who's been able to do exactly what he just said. Again, everyone, Tom North has been our guest. True North is the book, The Shocking Truth, about yours, mine, and ours. A great conversation, Tom. Thank you so much for the time. How can our listeners stay in contact with you as well as get the book for themselves?
Well, I do have a website, and they can buy the book on the website at truenorthbytomnorth.com. The book is also available at Amazon and wherever books are sold. I'm also a national sponsor of CASA, which is court-appointed special advocates for children. And if you buy the book on the website, 10% of the proceeds of sale will go to National CASA.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it and appreciate your sharing your truth with the world this way. I know it will continue to help others and inspire them in their own journey. And it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime.
Cyrus, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. And we thank all of you for tuning in to another edition of Conversations Live. Again, that was Tom North, the author of True North, The Shocking Truth About Yours, Mine, and Ours. That website, again, is www.truenorthbytomnorth.com. And that's where you guys can go to find out more information about Tom and get the book for yourself. Now, I mentioned earlier, if you came in late and missed part of the conversation, no matter how you're joining us today, don't worry. Thanks to our friends at blogtalkradio.com, you guys can catch the podcast about 3 minutes now after we go out to air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, I just posted the link again on our Twitter page, and we tagged Tom in it as well. So you guys can head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Also, it's on our Facebook page at facebook.com/CyrusWeb. I noticed that Tom also posted it on his Facebook page. So you can click on that link, listen to the show completely for free, and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons that you'll find there. Again, we want to thank Tom North for joining us today, and thank all of you for tuning in, both for our radio listeners as well as online, for another edition of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure to take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.